Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we continue our education article. It's May 8th, 2018. The title of our article is No Worse Fate Than Failure, and I have three panelists back with me today. Welcome back, Simon.
Thank you for having me again, Brandon.
Yeah, good to have you here. What was the main point that we really got to yesterday?
Well, I guess the issue is really whether or not students in elite schools, so not normal schools, we're talking about top schools, are facing too much pressure.
Okay. Thank you for that summary. Also, welcome back, Jack.
Thanks, Brandon. Glad to be talking about this with you again.
Yes, and also we have our guest back today. Welcome, Graham.
Hello, good to be here.
So we're going to have a great discussion today. Before we kind of get back into our article, I just want to ask our panelists kind of about their own experience in school, whether they felt like they had a lot of pressure or maybe they felt like it wasn't too bad. Simon, did you feel that you had too much pressure when you were in school?
No, I didn't. I mean, I didn't go to school in sort of an environment that was low pressure. So I remember having a lot of pressure of different kinds throughout, you know, my school years. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like I definitely could have handled more pressure.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Graham?
I went to a school that's not too unsimilar from the one in this article. However, I feel like my parents kind of were able to say, hey, don't worry about, we want you to be successful by your definition versus the definition maybe that other people might say of being a CEO at a Fortune 500 company. So it wasn't too stressful for me, mm-hmm. even though there were students at my school that were under a lot of pressure.
All right, good. And Jack?
For me, I think I didn't have a very high-pressure school situation, but I did participate in a lot of extracurricular activities or kind of outside-of-class activities. And when you combine those, then sometimes you can feel like it's hard to keep all of them in control.
Right. You can overload your schedule. So it doesn't have to be just academic. It can be clubs that you're involved with, sports that you're involved with. My own school high school especially, I don't feel like there was a lot of pressure there. In fact, I felt like I would have benefited from more pressure. And so we all come from different backgrounds, and some may say, oh yeah, I had a lot of pressure, and some not so much or in between. But we see yesterday, we saw that a lot of students in Illinois are having problems with maybe their course load is too much. Maybe they have too many things going on outside of school, extracurricular activities, as Jack was talking about, sports, clubs, and so forth. And so they don't know how to handle it all. Well, we're going to continue our discussion today on page 17. So if you have your magazine, go ahead and open it up and we'll have our first reading.
The dilemma. In many top performing schools, students and experts describe an atmosphere of intense, sometimes disabling pressure connected with test scores, college admissions, and advanced placement course loads. Parents are sending their kids to therapeutic day schools at hospitals that treat adolescent mental health issues. Teachers are changing their curricula to factor in students' anxiety and stress. And kids are facing what they say is a constant grinding strain throughout their academic careers. There is a double-edged sword. We want kids to challenge themselves, but not at the expense of their mental well-being, said Emily Polacek, a high school social studies teacher.
All right, so now we are talking about the dilemma. Simon, what does it mean if we have a dilemma?
Well, basically a dilemma means a problem that you don't know how to solve. And the reason you don't know how to solve it is that no matter which option you choose, you end up paying a price or kind of losing.
Okay. So schools, in these top performing schools, the students there and the experts, they describe an atmosphere of intense, sometimes disabling pressure connected with test scores. That word disabling, if something is disabling, what is it doing?
Basically, it's restricting or reducing what you are able to do, what you are capable of.
Right.
So the idea is that a student is under so much pressure that they're not able to actually function. They become overwhelmed. That was a word we kind of talked about yesterday. They didn't know how to deal with all the pressure.
Right. All the test scores, all the testing, the college admissions, and then we have advanced placement course loads, which are also called AP courses. What are those, Jack?
These are courses that you can take in high school that count towards college as eventual college credit.
Okay. Did any of you take those?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
A couple of you took those. Mm-hmm. And how did you find those, Simon?
I actually really kind of liked the way they were run in my high school, almost more than normal high school courses, because they included a big portion of the course that was dedicated to sort of independent study and working on your own projects. And so that format I thought was really pretty good. But at the same time, in the system I studied in, you don't have those classes crammed in along with all your other classes. We actually spend an extra year in high school doing them. So,
because you're from Canada, so the system's a bit different.
It's a different system.
Right. I know in America they offer AP courses. For example, maybe your senior year, you'll take an AP English course, and if you pass the test that goes along with that course, you get college credit for that. So you don't have to take another course when you get to, or that course when you get to college. And so it saves you time and hopefully money. And so that it can be very helpful for students. But there can be a lot of pressure associated with that when you're thinking about all of these things combined. And then you have outside clubs and so forth that can bring extra pressure. What are the parents doing, Graham?
The parents are sending their kids to therapeutic day schools at hospitals to treat adolescent mental health issues.
Wow. That's pretty intense. That's a strong measure. What is a therapeutic day school, Simon?
Well, to be honest, I've never even heard of anything like this. And so it's totally outside my experience. I know I'm from North America, but I haven't been there for a while. Basically, the root word of therapeutic is therapy. And so the idea is that these are schools that are counseling students to help them with their mental health issues. And these schools are actually, it seems, being run at hospitals. And these schools are basically focused around keeping students in school even while they're having adolescent mental health issues. So maybe things like depression or various other problems like that. These students can be treated for those problems and continue studying at the same time.
By the way, adolescent is referring to someone, a young person who's not yet an adult. And so they're sending their kids here to these schools, and hopefully they will help them with these mental health issues. And teachers are also doing something, Jack.
Yes, they are starting to change the curricula to factor in the students' anxiety and stress. And curricula is simply the material that is used for a class or a course.
All right, so maybe they're lightening up the load for the students. They're changing some things around because they realize it's just too much. And, you know, sometimes, I think Jack brought this up when we were off air, is this issue primarily because, yes, the students are indeed overloaded. They have too many things going on. They have too much homework, whatever. Or is it because it's a different generation and their ability to cope with the same workload from past generations might be different? I don't know what the problem is. I think maybe it could be a combination. And then we also live in a society that's different. We are overwhelmed with information. And we spend a lot of time on our phones and online, and that can also take away time that we could be doing other things.
Absolutely. I think really maybe the difference here is a societal change, something that's different about our society. Like you mentioned, Brandon, we have our phones and a lot of information. Sometimes I think, you know, the phone is a great source of study material, but it's also may slow down our studies. Sometimes then if your studies take longer, then you're going to get less sleep, and those things can snowball into a downward, really disabling problem.
Yeah, and I think in general, a lot of people would describe that they live under stress, maybe whether it's their job or whether it's school, but maybe people have said that for years, right? But because we have these other things taking away our time, maybe that adds to the stress instead of helping relieve the stress.
I actually really like the phrase they use in the next sentence in the third paragraph there, where they describe the situation of, I guess basically parents and teachers trying to find ways to deal with student stress issues. It says, there is a double-edged sword.
Yes, a double-edged sword, meaning that there's something positive and there's something negative going on.
And I think that's important because, you know, if you think about real life can be very stressful sometimes.
Yeah.
And some people in society have to be equipped and trained and experienced in dealing with high stress environments.
Yeah, and they describe this as a constant grinding strain right before the double-edged sword. And that's a good description as well.
And the question then is how to do it in a safe way as we go back to remembering what Tessa Newman was so upset about as her classmate had committed suicide. So somehow the students have to experience this pressure, which is a good learning experience for life, and yet it has to be done in a safe way so that they really don't come to the end of their limit.
Again, though, I think the catch is that not everybody has to experience the pressure. So it really depends on getting students into the sort of system that is well suited for them. Because if you think about it, if you're in a car accident and you go to the emergency room, you want to see a doctor that is really good at dealing with really high stress situations all the time for long periods of time. Because then you can sort of trust that that person will be able to deal with the situation. But if you have a cold and you go to visit your family doctor, there's no real reason for that person to be under constant stress all the time, right? So you can have two people, one of who is really good at dealing with stress and one who deals with less stress, both doing similar jobs but in different environments. Mm-hmm. And so it really depends on the person and the outcome you're looking for. But that's why when you hear things like teachers changing the curricula to factor in students' anxiety and stress, like we read about in the second paragraph, I kind of wonder, like, are they taking away that sort of high performance pressure for everybody? Because I don't know that that's really a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the struggles, I think, really, too, is that we don't know how we handle stress until we're in those situations. And so on the other side, if they're just trying to remove all of the stress out of the classroom, then we won't be able to identify the students that are really good in those situations.
Good point.
So I guess, you know, they don't provide us with really very much information about how they're actually doing these things to try to deal with the problem. But if I were to sort of very simply say the way I think would probably be best to go about it, I would think you would want to offer everybody an option of doing this high stress, high performance thing. But then if they don't feel it's good for them, you give them a way to opt out of that and choose something that's lower stress that doesn't have sort of the sense of failing attached to it. Like, just because you don't stay in the high-stress program doesn't mean you fail.
That's right. That's right? A very good point. I think we have to know the kids. Parents have to know their kids. Teachers have to know the kids and see what's best for them. And there are many different ways to be successful. And so I think if a parent is forcing their student to be successful in this one way, but that's just not their thing, then that could be bad news. And so we have to learn how to find other ways to help the students. Well, as Simon said, there is a double-edged sword. There's something positive. There's something negative. We want kids to challenge themselves, but not at the expense of their mental well-being. Jack, that's a good phrase to know, at the expense of.
That's right. And when you say something is at the expense of, it means you are going to get something, but there's going to be a cost that you have to pay, something that you have to give in return.
All right. This is according to a high school social studies teacher there in Illinois. And so this gives you a bit of more insight about what's going on and, what the students are facing and how teachers are involved and so forth. Next, we're going to find out more about the findings, so stay tuned as we have our next reading.
the findings. Public records reveal a sharp uptick in demand for counseling services at some high schools. Officials said 75% of students who received individual or group counseling at Highland Park High School during the 2015-16 year reported issues of anxiety, up from 35% 5 years earlier. Officials say the primary causes of stress vary among students and can include not only academic anxiety, but also worries about family problems and social situations.
So this is such a serious issue that students are seeking counsel. They're going to counselors to discuss their problems. And there are more and more who are seeking this counseling, right, Jack?
That's true. The study that is cited here or referred to here said that 75% of the students had received counseling at this Highland Park High School, and that is up from 35% that was just 5 years earlier.
Right, so they described this as a sharp uptick. Uptick means an increase, an uptick in demand for counseling services at some high schools. And so the good thing is they're actually going and talking to people about this. And that's really important. Instead of just keeping that all in, many students are going and they are seeking the help that they need. But we see that the increase is, there's a lot more than from 35% to 75%. So a lot of students seem to be under this pressure, but they are seeking help, which is important. What do we learn in the next paragraph, Simon?
Well, we learn that officials have responded to this research or this suggestion that there's been an increase in student stress by saying that the primary cause or the main causes of the stress vary.
Okay, they vary among students and can include not only academic anxiety but other things, right? That people have problems at home. There are social situations.
And I think this is exactly what you mentioned earlier, Brandon, that the society has changed. Let's just take, for instance, the way that we experience community. In the past generation, the way that we gather and share time and have fun may have been different. Now a lot of it we do through our online connections, and sometimes that takes time. I imagine that after the hours of study that these students want to connect with their friends, that's going to keep them up late into the night, and then from there, lose a lot more sleep.
Right. Thanks, Jack.
Well, there's changes in perception, too. Like, for example, they say 75% of students have received counseling. And I know when I was in high school, there was actually very little counseling available.
Sure.
So if you're comparing a school that has a lot of available counseling to a school that doesn't, you're going to see an increase in the amount of counseling. Sure. And at the same time, students that are reporting they feel stress, a lot of that depends on how you ask that question. Because if you ask most people, like, do you feel stress? They're going to say,
yes.
Yeah, I feel stress. But that doesn't tell you, you know, if it's too much stress or if it's, you know, stress they feel they can't handle or
right. And people think
things like that.
And the way people assess that for themselves, they may think in one time in their life, oh, I'm really stressed. But 10 years later, the stress is so much more. So compared to, you know, it's all relative.
Yeah, it's also interesting because the focus of this article has been on stress coming from schools, but in this last paragraph we've read, officials are pointing out that not all of the stress is academic. Other stress comes from family problems and social situations, and those are things that, you know, that's just part of growing up, right? Like, people always end up with family problems and, you know, trouble with their friends and things like that,
and those
especially
can,
when you're in high school.
Those can cause sometimes much more stress than maybe the academic stress. So I think all of these things combined is a problem, but I'm glad that people are talking about it and seeking help. There is a theme here that we are going to discuss in our last reading, Common Threads. Let's find out about that.
Common Threads. Many teens don't get enough sleep because of increasingly rigorous college prep courses and the demands of juggling several hours of homework each night with extracurricular activities required to burnish college applications. So now, everyone is taking the hardest classes, But it's not just grades, because they're told they not only have to be involved in clubs and sports, but they need to be the leader or captain. Tom Colentes, a former principal at Highland Park High School, said. And they also need a high test score on the ACT and SAT. I've had conversations with former students who have told me college is actually easier than high school, Colentes said. In high school, they're dealing with hard classes, and then they have 3, 4, or more hours of homework each night.
So what is the theme that we're talking about here? Many teens, they don't get enough sleep because of increasingly rigorous college prep courses. So this is a problem, Jack, if you're not getting enough sleep because you're having to study. And they tell us how hard these courses are here, and they use this word rigorous to describe it.
Rigorous has kind of two definitions. The first definition here is one that's something that is severe or strict. Rigorous can also be used to mean something that's very thorough. And I think it can be applied in both ways in this situation.
All right. And so they're not sleeping enough. And these, by the way, college prep courses are courses, of course, that just prepare you for college. So, for example, in high school, you could take the regular English class or the college prep English class or the AP, the Advanced Placement English class, depending on your desires. So they're trying to juggle this around, all this stuff. They're trying to manage everything, the homework, the extracurricular activities. And in North America, there are a lot of extracurricular opportunities, right, Simon?
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because in this sentence, they actually connect them to college applications. Mm-hmm. So they say extracurricular activities required to burnish college applications. Burnish, of course, means like polish or make shinier, make something brighter. And so basically to improve your application so you look like a better student. But that's very true. In a lot of parts of Asia, your test score is basically the main thing that gets you into college, and that is part of what gets you into college in North America. But there's a much broader list of ingredients in the recipe of college success in North America. So there's scores on classes that you've had throughout your education. So it's important to do well in all of your classes throughout your schooling. It's important to do well on the test. It's important to volunteer and have life experience and also to be part of these extracurricular activities.
Thanks, Simon. Next, we get some insight about all of this from a principal at Highland Park High School. What does he tell us, Jack?
Very close to basically what Simon was explaining. It's not just the grades, but the students are told that they have to be involved in clubs, sports, and they need to be not just a participant, but maybe the leader or the captain.
There's always more, right? So striving for that top position. And that's good in some ways. It's not that you don't want to have the students be their best, but where is that line, right? Do they want to be the leader of that sport? Maybe that's not their thing. And so there seems to be a lot of pressure there, according to this principal. And he goes on, he says, they also need a high test score on the ACT and the SAT. So, Graham, let's talk about those for a moment. First of all, what is the ACT?
So the ACT stands for the American College Test, and this is one of the tests that American students will take in order when they are applying for college. It just kind of gives a standard grade for colleges to look at.
And the SAT is similar. It's also a college entrance exam, and I think it depends on which region of the country you're from, in America at least. Like, I took the ACT, I did not take the SAT, but I think the SAT is more common, and many students will take that. But these are very important tests, and colleges use this as a part of their, guidelines for accepting a student. So, that can bring about a lot of pressure. And next we see that this principal's had a lot of conversations, right, Simon?
Yeah, that's right. He basically says he's been talking to former students and that they've told him that college is easier than high school.
Yeah, that's interesting that college could be easier than high school. You know, I think I've heard that from some students here in Asia. For the most part, college is supposed to be harder than high school, at least in North America. And so this must be a really good school, Jack.
Absolutely. And I think they are being rigorous on their students for that very reason. They want to prepare the students so much for college that they, in fact, almost feel like it's easier.
Yeah.
I felt the same way when I was a university student, actually. But to be honest, as I've gotten older and I think back on it, I think the biggest difference is you have a lot of freedom in college. So you find yourself, especially in North America, where you have a lot of freedom in choosing which classes you want to take and which major you want to study and things. So you're not spending as much time doing things you have to do. You're doing a lot more time looking at topics and things you're interested in and you want to do.
All right.
Which makes a big difference, right?
It does. That freedom is wonderful. When you're going from high school to college, that's great. And it does, I think, help you to relax more.
Yeah.
And even though maybe that's the interpretation. Maybe it seems easier.
Well, see, because, you know, part of the source of pressure they're talking about in the article is AP classes. So it's not like the classes themselves get easier when you're in college. It's just the whole stress environment changes, right?
Right. That's true. And we learn here that, according to this principle, that they have 3-4 hours of homework each night, the students do. And so that's a lot. That's a lot of homework.
That is a lot.
And so that could also bring about lots of pressure. Well, we hope that you have found this article to be insightful. Maybe you know some students, they're feeling like they're under a lot of pressure and you would like to share this article with them. Please do so and let us know your thoughts. Go on to our website, studioclassroom.com, and let us know what you think. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you will join us next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon,
Jack,
Graham,
and Simon
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you later.